our prayer life, in my prayer life, and I know in yours, as we've talked over the last few weeks, and as I've met with you on Tuesday evenings for our Prayer 101 class, we have lifted up time and time again about all the ways in which we can go to God, all the ways in which we can communicate with God and let God know exactly what's on our hearts and minds. All those needs and wants, all those hopes and dreams, all those fears and failures, the things we've said and the things we shouldn't have said. We give that all to God when we pray. Because prayer, at its most basic level, its most elemental level, is the way that we communicate, the way that we seek out our relationship with God. We've talked about how communication, just like as it's a part of any workplace relationship or any marriage or relationship with your children or siblings, prayer as a way we communicate with God and improve our relationship with God. It's fundamental and it's essential. And yet, I think a lot of us struggle with it. I know I do. Sometimes I get distracted when I pray. Sometimes I get overwhelmed. Other times the words don't come and I just get stuck in the silence. And so we've been talking about the four words that are behind me here up on the wall. Words like help, thanks, wow, and use me. Today we're talking about use me. The words of our psalmist, the words of our scripture today from the Psalms remind us that we are to seek God with our whole heart. And the song that we just sang along with Sam and the praise band reminds us of that too. With our whole heart, we run to God. We fix our eyes on God's way and we look to God, who is our creator and our redeemer and our sustainer and the one who is with us in every time and place. We look to God for that energy, for that sustenance, but we also look to God for direction. So during our prayer time, if we ever find ourselves talking to God with a laundry list of items or things that we need and want, complaints or dangerous situations or people we know who have very real needs, we can let God know about all of that. And God hears us and listens to us. But just as in any relationship, there's give and there's take, there's talking and there's listening, so too is there give and take, talking and listening in our prayer life. We're allowed to be selfish when we pray, and we're also allowed to be silent, to listen for God's voice, to listen for God's direction in our life. So as we pray, as we talk with others, as we listen and patiently discern who it is we're called to be and what it is we're called to do, we know that that is indeed an act of prayer. Each time we pray a prayer like, God, use me in this moment, use me and my gifts, use the money that I am giving to this project, use my time for your glory. We are participating in an act of prayer. We know that God partners with us in ministry as we are at work in the world. As I was walking through the church this morning, enjoying the gallery showcase of all the different ministry opportunities here at St. Paul's, I was overwhelmed with gratitude and with appreciation for all the people here at our church who have said, God, use me. Use my passion. Use my knowledge. Use my skill set. And help me to be in ministry in the world. We see that all over the place this morning as we look at men involved in United Methodist Men or in Boy Scouts ministry, women who are teaching Bible studies or leading Sunday school classes, people who are using their experience of surviving cancer to help others now going through that same situation, children who are volunteering their time to serve in the nursery, to help teach Sunday school, or to work at Vacation Bible School, or somewhere in our community. These are all the ways that we are already praying a prayer like, use me, and doing God's work to build up the kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven. I want you all to be confident in this moment that each one of you have something that this world needs, that our church needs, and yes, that God needs. Each one of you has a purpose and a mission, and your presence here at the Open Door and at St. Paul's United Methodist Church and in our community is valuable. And we want to tap in to the beauty and the goodness and all the resources that God has given you. We invite you today to pray a prayer of, God, use me, and listen for the ways that God responds, for the ways that each one of us can get connected to what God is doing in and through the life of St. Paul's United Methodist Church. God needs you, and you can be the answer to other people's prayers. The choice to allow ourselves to be used in ministry each and every day, to give of things that are precious to us, like our time and our talent and our treasures, is an act of prayer. It is something that God delights in. It is something that helps us follow and pursue the path that God has marked out for us as a church and a community. United Methodists have a long history of partnering with God to do good in the world. As people of faith, United Methodists have always said, God, I am here. Here I am. Use me. When we have been a prayerful presence on the margins. If you go back in history and look at someone amazing like Harriet Tubman, who was an escaped slave woman who used her freedom to help others. She was a United Methodist person, a Methodist person before the churches came together, and she was a person who helped develop the Underground Railroad to lead other escaped slaves to slavery in the North, to help provide food and water, protection and shelter. She was a person who used her own freedom, something so precious and valuable, and shared it with others as an act of prayer, as an act of justice, as an act of pursuing God and God's presence in her life. There are other men and women and children who have stood up for justice countless times throughout history. But I want to give you today three of the most relevant examples I know for here and now. It starts right here in this room, my friends, because at the back table, at the red tablecloth, are some high school youth who are selling sub sandwiches today as they prepare to fundraise money and go on their week-long mission trip this summer to Mission South Dakota. We'll be working together with a team of about 40 people on a reservation where First Peoples live. It's called the Rosebud Reservation, and there we'll have a chance to do some repairing of homes, some tending to the souls of people who are in need, and some caring for and teaching of the children there. These are youth who have decided to give up a week of their summer vacation and have decided to engage in an act of prayer where they say, God, use me. Use all that I am in this week to serve you. There's another relevant example that just hit the news streams this week. The United Methodist Credit Union, which is just another financial organization that helps people sort and categorize their money and save in the ways that God would intend for us to be stewards of our money, has said to the general public, we know that families are hurting in this time and place because of the government shutdown. There are employees who are sitting on furlough and waiting for news that they can go back to their jobs and continue to earn their income. Until that time is reached, the United Methodist Credit Union has said, we would like to offer the public an opportunity to apply for 0% interest loans. We would like to help you and your family during this time set aside your resources and pay back a portion of what you owe and continue to live your life. Continue to be healthy and thriving individuals and people who serve God, who love neighbor, who go out into the world to use their gifts and graces. We are people. We are organizations. We are even banks who have said, God, here I am, use me. The third example I have for you is that each year, St. Paul's United Methodist Church selects a year-long mission project where we can focus our efforts and fundraise money for a specific project. Each year, we alternate local and global projects. Last year was the Uganda Mobile Libraries, and we raised over $20,000 together as a church to help support an organization that provides literacy and resources for children in rural villages in Uganda. This year, in 2019, we prayed a prayer and asked, God, where would you like to use us? Where would you like to use our people and our resources this year? And the answer that came to us was St. Paul's United Methodist Church. Go to serve alongside Methodist Children's Home Society in Redford Township. Redford is just outside of the city of Detroit on 6 Mile Road. And it is an incredible organization with a wonderful mission to reach out to children and youth who have been survivors of abuse and neglect and trauma in their young lives and to help them put the pieces of their lives back together based on the premise that they are beautiful, that they are loved, and that their life has meaning and value. I have a video I want to show you about Methodist Children's Home Society and their beautiful campus and the work they do with young children. Let's watch.
I am creative.
I am great.
Our kids are so great because they are conquerors. They are looking toward the future. We have future presidents, we have future CEOs, we have future teachers here. So we want to instill in our kids not only greatness, but we want to also instill in them that they can conquer anything that they set their minds to.
Our kids are so great. When we do engage with them, you see the hope that they have just from us engaging with them. And it's got a lot of strong will and desire to succeed, even though they've been traumatized in life.
Our children have gone through so much in such a short period of time, but the fact that they still are optimistic about their future, they still are hopeful.
I am funny.
I am smart.
Our kids in foster care are so great. Despite everything that they have gone through in their young lives, they show resiliency and they're still able to open themselves up to love.
See, our kids are great. They're amazing. They're curious, they're funny, and so much more, all because of the dedication and the support of our volunteers and our donors, people like you who have been so passionate in supporting the children at Methodist Children's Home Society.
I love to see the children grow here at Methodist. I love to see how they come in and sometimes they're shy and don't know how to necessarily put their first foot forward, but it is great to see them fight through their challenges and their circumstances and really beat all the odds.
I think what makes our kids fun is that despite the challenges that they come from, there's always that laughter throughout the village that our kids give. Kids will, they do the darndest things.
Our kids are very creative.
I have personally had a number of kids who, I mean, the level of artistic creativity really blows my mind.
Our kids are very strong. They've had to endure a lot in their young lives. And they've, all their situations are different, but they're very strong, they persevere.
Because of your continued support, we ensure that our children have brighter and stronger futures.
My name is Michael. I'm 17 years old. I've been in the program for a year, 8 months. And in 5 years, I'm going to be a competitor. You have a goal, set it, achieve it. Even though you go through challenges and things, there's always ways to overcome them.
So on behalf of all of us here at Methodist Children's Home Society, we thank you from the bottom of our hearts to yours.
Today I have with me my friend Katie Woodstock, who serves at Methodist Children's Home Society as their Chief Development Officer. And I've invited her here so that we can hear a little more about what happens in the ministries at Methodist Children's Home and how we can be a part of it as we seek to engage in an act of prayer where God can use each one of us and the gifts that we have to offer. So welcome, Katie.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here. I'm glad we got to share our video with you. And on behalf of our agency, we're really thrilled to have been adopted as a mission that St. Paul's is supporting in 2019. So thank you so much. I think you all deserve a round of applause for that. So thank you very, very much.
So, Katie, tell us a little bit about Methodist Children's Home Society. Who lives there, and why do the children come there, and what do you do on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, so Methodist Children's Home Society, as Pastor Aaron mentioned, is located in Redford, about a half hour away from here. And we service children who have unfortunately been removed from their homes because of child abuse and neglect. So we have a few different programs in which we service them. Kind of our most well-known program is our residential program. We have a beautiful 80-acre campus, as you saw a little bit of that in the video. We've been around for 102 years. This is our 102nd year we're in right now, which sounds crazy to say. But we have 60 children, all boys, that live in our residential program, ages 5 through 18. So they are there all the time. We're helping them get caught up in school, helping them with therapy. They come to us a bit, you know, emotionally broken, and they've got a few challenges they're working through. But all of our staff, as you saw in our video, are so incredibly passionate and caring towards these kids. So we try to help them get to a really sound place and get caught up in school and develop goals, help them with life skills, so that when they get to a point where they can leave us and go to a foster or adoptive family, or if they age out of the foster system, then they're ready to be a productive citizen, too. So we feel really, really passionately about that. And we also work with foster and adoptive families to recruit and train them and get them ready to take in a child. And all of our families are so amazing. We keep very close relationships with all of them and appreciate all the great work we do. So that's a huge component of our agency, too. We work with boys and girls in the foster system. When it comes to placing them with families. So there's a lot that we do.
That's sacred work, is it not? That is so wonderful and meaningful and something that our world desperately needs. There's a place in the Bible where Jesus says, how do you care for the least of these? And that is how you are in relationship with me. And so I'm grateful for your work and for your ministry. I'd like to use that M word and call it ministry. Katie, do you have a favorite part of your job or what gets you out of bed every morning to go to a campus?
Yeah, I have to say. So in my role, I'm our chief development officer. So I oversee all of our community outreach and engagement, anything that has to do with bringing the community in to get involved with our mission. So in my day-to-day, you know, it is in my job description to work directly with our kids. But any time that I do have the opportunity to be around our kids, which is usually on a daily basis, in some form, I try to see them and get involved with them whenever I can. It is truly my favorite part of the job. I think it probably sounds a bit cliche saying that almost, but it really, really is. It has always been my personal career mission to work in any way that I can help advocate for the health and wellness of children. And at the end of the day, that is why we're there. So anytime I can interact with them, especially, you know, around the holidays when they need a little extra love and attention, you know, anytime we have a birthday club going on, which is a monthly birthday party we have for all the kids whose birthdays fall within that month, or a campus activity, I feel like I'm always right there with them, you know, rolling up my sleeves and running around and playing with them. And yeah, it is always always my favorite part of the job, which definitely fills me up inside too. So they're wonderful. And like we were saying in the video, you know, we created this video recently, and we didn't want to create kind of a sad light shine on our agency, because oftentimes we hear stories and they are very sad. We wanted to highlight why our kids are so wonderful and great, you know, and how they've overcome, you know, their circumstances. Despite what they've been through, they're still resilient and they still are so full of love. And it always amazes me when I see that, and, you know, their sweetness and innocence and their intelligence and their spirit, how at the end of the day they really just want to be loved and cared about and have adults in their life that they trust and that they know care about them. So, yeah, for all of those reasons, they're my favorite part of the job. But they're pretty awesome.
Thank you. As we think about ways that we can help kids who have been hurt in the past start to find love again and find their resilience and their strength, you've been sharing with me about an amazing new program that you're trying to launch at Methodist Children's Home Society, and that is an animal-assisted therapy program where kids can come and engage with animals of all different kinds on the campus in a barn and start to heal, start to receive some balm in their wounds and move forward in their life. Can you tell us more about the animal-assisted therapy program?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a project we're starting this year, and I know the funding raised at St. Paul's will be going specifically toward that project, which is really exciting. So the project, our clinical team of therapists came to us recently and said, you know, we would really love to start this project. We see children in our day-to-day who are really having trouble forming healthy attachments with adults because they've never properly attached to an adult before. And I had a wonderful family growing up. I could never imagine not, you know, feeling attached to one of my parents. And it's really, really eye-opening. But we've seen studies by the NIH, and I know different nonprofits who specifically focus on animal-assisted therapy. These kinds of programs help kids create attachments to animals and go through normal feelings, feel love and care and responsibility, and also grief, you know, how to properly grieve if an animal were to pass away or things like that. And these attachments can be leveraged into attachments with adults too. So I think teaching how to healthily attach, form healthy attachments to animals that can be leveraged into healthy relationships and attachments with adults, and also teaching that responsibility. So with our therapist, the children will be responsible for taking care of the animals, similar like they would their chores. They'll have chores when it comes to caring for our animals on our campus. And it's exciting, especially we used to have a farm on our campus, little MCHS farms back in the day. And this is something we'll be able to start once again, but kind of have a different, kind of reinvent it and have a different purpose for it too. So we're really thrilled to be able to start this program.
So working with Katie and with our church mission council, St. Paul's has set a goal to raise $30,000 for Methodist Children's Home Society that will go towards this animal-assisted therapy program to help build the barn where the animals will be housed, to actually purchase the animals and the things that they need to survive on a day-to-day basis, to train the therapists who will receive the animal assisted therapy certification at Oakland University right here in Rochester, and to begin to move forward to get kids back to a positive level of attachment, to be able to receive and give love and affection. So I'm really excited about this partnership. I'm excited about this program and the opportunity that we have. And raising the money and building the barn and doing all of these things is just one part of the way that we have said, God, use me. And Katie, I wonder if there are any prayer requests that you guys have on campus right now where you're saying, God, we would love an individual or an organization or a church or a family to come in and fulfill this need. What would some of those other needs be that we could answer, be an answer to your prayers?
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great question. Right now, we're beginning a child abuse prevention program. We'll be working with families in the community that might not have proper access to like diapers and powdered formula, items that if they did have proper access to that, then it would help them, you know, not be neglectful of their child, and do parenting classes and things like that. So we're currently looking for donations of diapers and powdered formula. Obviously always in need of monetary donations. 2/3 of our funding come from the state, and the rest, my team and I are in charge of fundraising, so that's always helpful. And the third thing, I think, just spreading the word of our organization, what we do. We've been around for over a century now, and I think we've really gained some traction over the past few years in getting our name out there a bit more with the building up of our development and community engagement team. So any way, you know, if you want to share one of our Facebook posts, we're always posting pictures from the kids' events and videos and things on there. And just spreading the word about what we do and raising the awareness that there are children right in our community, you know, this modern day orphanage, essentially, that really need all the love and support from the community that we can get. So I would really appreciate that.
Thank you. We have a link to Methodist Children's Home Society on our church website under the missions tab, and we've also been sharing news about them from our Facebook platform on social media. So I encourage you to go there to like the organization and to get involved as you can. You can also give to Methodist Children's Home Society using your St. Paul's app or by writing a check and putting MCHS in the memo line. And as Katie and I were talking about how to conclude this interview today, we as women of God and people who pray every day were comforted by some wise words from Mother Teresa. And so we just wanted to offer them to you now as we think about this prayer of use me and giving our all for God. Mother Teresa says, if you are successful, you will win some unfaithful friends and some genuine enemies.
Succeed anyway.
If you are honest and sincere, people may deceive you.
Be honest and sincere anyway.
When you spend years creating, others could destroy overnight.
Create anyway.
If you find sincerity and happiness, some may be jealous.
Be happy anyway.
If you do good today, it may often be forgotten.
Do good anyway.
If you give the best you have, it may never be enough.
Give your best anyway.
In the end, in the final analysis, it is between you and God.
It was never between you and them anyway.
Let us pray. God, your love is so amazing, and we can feel your presence in our lives today. We know that you are listening to the words that we are lifting up to you today, the things that are close on our hearts, the families that are in need, the children who are hurt and healing. We ask that you would empower and inspire each and every one of us to use all that we have and all that we are in ministry to build up your kingdom so that heaven might be a little bit closer to earth. Not for just us in our comfortable places, in our warm homes, but for others who are in need this day. Be with all of us. Give us your strength and your will to serve. Amen.